when they couldn't kill it, they tried to water it down with special interest loopholes and carve-outs aimed at undermining real change. Today, I think it's fair to say that these efforts have failed.
And with all the economic and bank reform news right now, we're happy to have Nassim Taleb with us, former derivatives trader and hedge fund manager, NYU professor, and author of the best-selling book, The Black Swan, which is about highly improbable events, especially in the economy. He got some of the financial crisis right before it happened. A new edition of The Black Swan is just out this week, updated for recent economic developments. Taleb is also newly famous this week for tweeting these 61 characters, "If my detractors knew me better, they would hate me even more." Professor Taleb, thanks for doing this today. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
Who do you do your detractors tend to be? Do they tend to hold certain economic or political views?
Yes, they tend to be economists, and for a good reason, because I don't make them look good.
I don't know if...
I treat them, you know, to me they're charlatans. I mean, they fragilize society in the sense that they, their theories don't work. They have this rationalism about what should work, what should not work. And, I mean, you have a million economists on the planet, between journalists, people who call themselves economists, people who study economics, and a handful of them saw what could have happened. So there's not a lot of legitimacy to that profession. So they tend to be economists or people who want to get rich in the stock market. These are the two categories of detractors. But I got plenty of them.
Where do you fit in? You used to be a hedge fund manager, derivatives trader. You have an MBA.
Yeah, I mean, my specialty is in I'm a risk, you know, in risk studies, risk analysis, and it's at the juncture of I would say. Mathematics, statistics, philosophy, and history.
So if your detractors knew you better, they would hate you even more. And
I read
in the London Telegraph that you're pessimistic enough this week that you've been advising people to get out of stocks and government bonds and invest in hard assets. Did you say that?
Yes. I mean, let me talk about government bonds here. My idea... is that forecasting is harder and harder. It was never easy to forecast historical events or forecast economic events, but it's getting harder and harder. So instead of forecasting better, which we can't, and we have this illusion of science, what you need to do is to be more robust to forecast errors. Now, there's something I call fragility and robustness. What makes you robust to forecast errors is governments have a surplus, not deficits. And, of course, deficits require you to forecast better, and we can't because of too much complexity in the world, too much interactions, especially since the Internet, and of course, the world trade and globalization. So the environment today is requires you to have low deficits because small errors in forecasting by governments, and governments at the Office of Management and Budget, you would laugh if they saw their forecasts. You know, in history, they never got anything right, okay, not even remotely right. So the you need to be robust to forecast errors, and to be robust to forecast errors, you want to have a surplus and redundancies. You cannot have deficits. And governments now, I mean, just like Greece forecasts 3% debt to GDP, and now they're at 14%. Governments have this, scenarios analysis. It looks good, you know, on paper, but if they make the smallest mistake, we're all in trouble. Plus, there's another issue here of morality, and let me explain it. An adult made a mistake lending to another adult. Okay.
Yeah.
Why should innocent future generations pay the price? What we have here is mistakes made by people. You know, when an individual goes bankrupt, his descendants don't have to pay for his debt. That's it. You have bankruptcy laws,
mm-hmm.
except in some countries, like India or similar countries. Now, why should we and future generations pay for the mistakes made by bankers? So this intergenerational transfer of risk is not acceptable to me morally.
morally. But with respect to the question of whether somebody as an individual should invest in government bonds, I mean, generally getting out of stocks means getting into government bonds, U.S. Treasuries, for example, as the flight to safety. Are you saying that even U.S. Treasuries are unsafe in your view?
Yeah, of course. I mean, a very short-term Treasury bills, maybe not. But you have to realize that the government, if you look at office management of budget, and again, they never get anything right. They're forecasting somewhere between, I'd say, $4 to $8 trillion of deficit for the next 10 years, if not more. A small little glitch in their assumptions may make that swell to $30-40 trillion, you see? So, and all you need is a failed auction. And who's going to buy those bonds? You need new money. You need new suckers to come in. You don't have them. I mean, that's it. It's gone. The Chinese have bought the bonds they need to buy. They're not going to buy too many more bonds. So, and the Arabs are not going to buy many more bonds. They don't have the money. You know, the deficits are huge, and we're competing. You're competing now with Europe. Europe has the same problems. So long-term government bonds are dangerous. This reminds me of, you know, post-First War Germany.
But we just had Paul Krugman on saying that the U.S. and Europe are really in pretty different situations, or at least the U.S. and Greece. I don't want to overstate what he said, because in the U.S. there is a path to recovery that you could see, because it's quite likely that U.S. growth can outpace the growth of deficits, whereas that's impossible for the foreseeable future in Greece.
As someone who analyzes mistakes in forecasting, everything Paul Krugman has been saying is horrifying to me. Okay, these analyses are not robust, and all these tools they use for forecasting and analysis don't offend my scientific integrity. You see, it is not all these comparisons are to me are like just ad hoc comparisons. You can't look at the world that way. We have a crisis. Governments have been transferring private debt into public debt on both sides of the continent. These minor differences are just talk.
Nicholas Taleb, my guest on, that's Nassim Nicholas Taleb, my guest on WNYC. His new book, his bestseller, The Black Swan, just out in a new edition, The Black Swan, The Impact of the Highly Improbable. Can I get your take on the new bank regulations and what they'll accomplish, in your opinion, for better or worse?
Right. I mean, in the edition of The Black Swan, I talk about robustness, and I think regulation fragilizes things. And let me explain to you. Before, when you started this talk, you said that I was a derivatives trader for a long time. And you know derivatives? You know that business called derivatives?
Uh-huh.
It comes from regulation. Most of the volume in derivatives is due to people trying to arbitrage either tax laws or regulation. But you know, so regulations tend to make either complexify things to make, and people go around them all the time. You see, so I have to watch out. Regulations are what got us here, because the regulators, with Basel II, allowed banks to use measures of risk that were absolutely not scientific. So these regulators did, did fragilize the system in the past. Okay, had we had no regulators, we probably wouldn't have had the big crisis in banking that we had. So regulation as a panacea is not a solution. Now, there may be some regulations, but just thinking that regulating for the sake of regulation is just going to make Goldman Sachs lawyers and derivatives traders rich.
Well, okay? But is it just for the sake of regulation? For example, you were a derivatives trader. Do you like the provision for derivatives to be traded on transparent exchanges from now on, because we see what happened when they were able to be part of a shadow economy?
This one I like. I like things to be transparent, to reduce over-the-counter derivatives and stuff like that. Yes, I like that. Some elements I like, other elements I don't like.
How about Wall Street firms being prohibited from betting for or against the derivatives that they create?
That's very difficult to enforce, because you don't know whether what betting for or against is when you use highly correlated products or products that have not very visible correlation, but may in a nonlinear way react like them. I mean, this is technical, but what I'm saying is that regulations, give me a regulation and a cup of coffee and a few hours, and I'll come up with a way to beat that regulation, you see?
So you think they're going to come up with a way to beat the regulation that's going to cause the next crisis that nobody could foresee right now?
We got to do something, and to me the solution is not necessarily in regulating. My solution is in eliminating moral hazard from the system. To me, I mean, I like things to break, and I think evolution works by destroying, not by preaching, and not by theorizing. So we need people who make mistakes to be punished. If you eliminated moral hazard, if you eliminated bailouts, because, you know, they keep bailing out and saying, oh, it's the last time, it's so un-American to bail out, and they keep bailing out. They've been saying that since 1982. So there is an environment. I call that the black swan robust world, and it has some steps in it. There is an environment that would naturally prevent crises because the problems would not compound very easily. It's an environment with low debt, small size firms, an environment in which society doesn't bail out someone. So people know that if a bank is going to collapse, nobody's going to help it. So it would never be put in a position to take monstrous risks.
Nassim Taleb. His book, The Black Swan, The Impact of the Highly Improbable, New York Times bestseller, now out in paperback with new content. And he will be doing an appearance at the Union Square Barnes & Noble Monday at 7 p.m. to discuss the new edition of the book. You can get more information on our website. Are you going to read, or are you going to talk?
No, I'm going to answer hecklers. People asking me questions.
Which gets back to your tweet that says, if my detractors knew me better, they would hate me even more.
Definitely.
You'll answer that one. Okay, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Lenore Skenazy will be back. But remember that mom, Daily News columnist at the time, who wrote that she put her 9-year-old son on the subway by himself and asked him to find his way home? Well, she is proposing that tomorrow be Leave Your Kid Alone in the Park Day. So we'll talk to Lenore Skenazy coming up in a few minutes. And if you want to tell us if you think it's a good idea to leave your kid in the park alone tomorrow, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Are we too fearful? 212-433-9692.